Acts chapter 6. We saw a lot of great things in our last verses and been great things in all these verses in the book of Acts. And it's a great challenge in this passage of scripture. And I want you to think about the challenge as we come to it because it's pretty amazing when you stop and think about what's said here. Acts chapter 6 verse 1. Now in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brothers, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Do I have verse 8 there too? I do. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Now, here's some challenges in this passage of scripture. The first challenge is division, problems, disagreements, trouble. Not out in the world, but in the church. That's the first problem. And this problem was based on an age-old problem. And that was the Jews and the Greeks didn't have much dealings with each other. Now we're in the church. Now Greeks and Jews are in the church together. Now these are Greeks who were believers. These are Greeks who were Jewish Greeks, okay? But they were of the Hellenistic branch. That's Greek. You heard of Helen of Troy, right? So this is the kind of, what they were referring them to. And so it says, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now something had begun to happen amongst them that wasn't happening in the world. Widows in those countries were basically left to their own devices to beg, or if there was a family member that took pity on them, then they were given something. But there was no welfare, there was no care out there in the world. But there was a care that had developed in the church. A care that they were made sure that nobody lacked. Remember, we saw that the church in the book of Acts was a community. It was a real commune. In so many ways. But many have tried commune since then without the Spirit of God, and they don't work. They don't work well at all. Whole countries have tried communism, and it hasn't worked. Why? Because of the wickedness of men's hearts. But in the Spirit of God, there can be a great and wonderful unified community. But that doesn't mean you're not going to have struggles. It doesn't mean there aren't times when there's going to be some division. And there arose a division. And this division might not seem like much, but here where the Greeks were saying, our widows are not getting a fair share here.
And Franklin would speak up for them too, wasn't it?
It was. It wasn't. The apostles didn't dismiss it. They didn't say, "Pooh, we don't need to hear such petty things." They took it very seriously. And we ought to. And we ought to guard our fellowship and guard our relationship with one another and be careful that things are done right. And if there's something that needs to be corrected, then it needs to be talked out and prayed out. And in this situation, there was, as the disciples were multiplying, that's the good side of it. Church was growing. But as the church was growing, problems were arising. Yeah, that doesn't happen today. No. But all you need is two or more, and you're going to have some problems, right? But you're also going to have a lot of good things, too. But these things can be resolved. And so what was happening was the widows that were from the Greek widows, they weren't getting as much. They weren't getting as much as the other ones were. And there was a concern over this, that there was some unfairness happening. So the 12, they got the news, right? And they did something about it. They summoned the multitude of the disciples. And here's what they said. They said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." So what they were saying is, we can't manage this. We have other matters to deal with. We cannot leave the word of God and take the time to be involved in making sure that everybody gets a fair share of food. So what did they do about it?
They formed a committee.
They did. They formed a committee. This was the first committee formed in the church. Now, sometimes churches have committed themselves to death. But in this case, how did they go about it? What did they do?
Picked out the seven godly men.
Who picked out the seven godly men?
The people.
The people. You can see here that the apostles were not interested in being lord over every little matter. That wasn't their heart. They were there to serve. They were there to be in the word of God. Not to serve tables, but they said somebody does need to do this. It was a need, it was important, and it needed to be handled. And so they said, now you guys, I want you to pick out 12 men. Or seven men. Seven men. And we'll talk about the qualifications for a moment. But they said, you know, we are involving the church in this decision. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yes.
You can see here that it wasn't just, okay, we're on top here. We're going to make sure we're going to micromanage every little thing. Everything has to come through us. You know, we're the ones in charge. And we want to manage everything. We don't want you. You just do as you're told. But that's not the way they handle things. They handle things in unity. They handle it together. The problem was brought to them from the church. And they gave the church an opportunity to be involved. And there was a lot of wisdom in that. There was wisdom in that so that they could be picking those who they felt would be fair in the matter, who would be do things in a right way. And it was wisdom in that it wasn't just one or two. It was to make sure, because they had a lot of people. They were dealing with thousands and thousands of people. They needed enough people to be able to manage this well. What qualifications were necessary in order for these men to serve tables?
Holy Spirit and wisdom.
Good reputation.
Good reputation.
Full of faith.
That was important, wasn't it? Because they were managing something here for other people. Of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom whom he appoint over this business. Now there's the challenge, friends. This is quite a challenge. Being of a good reputation is an important thing. And that good reputation, it doesn't mean that you might be persecuted for your faith in Christ. And that might cause you, like the apostles, what was their reputation as far as the Pharisees were concerned?
Yeah.
They're a bunch of ignorant men. That was their reputation. But that wasn't what they were speaking of. They were speaking about their character. That their character was good. You might just say, oh, look, it's just waiting on tables. That's not that important. Let's just get anybody that's willing to do it.
Yes.
No, they had to have a good reputation. And not only did they have to have a good reputation, good character, but they had to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Mm-hmm. Now here's the challenge. Anything that is going to be done, if we're going to do it well, we need to be Spirit-filled people.
Yes.
We really do.
Yes.
We need to be people of character. And we need to be a people of wisdom. A wisdom that comes from God. A wisdom that handles things in a right way. Whatever it is we say, whatever it is we do, the world has a certain way of responding to things, you know. Oh, well, I'm going to take charge of running these tables. All right, you guys, you get that stuff done over there, all right? The world has a way of doing things. But Christ has another way. A way where we're humbled. Where we're humbled to other people. We're submitting to one another. In the fear of God, as the Bible says. Where we approach people with gentleness. where we look for every opportunity to lovingly encourage people. And if there is a rebuke, or if there is a little correction that has to be done, that we do it gently, with wisdom. And that our character is stellar in the process of that. Otherwise, zip your lip. Don't say anything. Because it's so easy to respond the way the world does. It's so easy to put a little dig in about somebody. Something you didn't like what they did. And make sure that somebody else knows about it. Isn't it?
Yes,
it is. And it's easy to do in the Christian church amongst God's people. Small little arrows shooting out. Little complaints. If there's an issue that's important, then it needs to be discussed. It needs to be looked at. And it needs to look for a godly solution to a problem. Right? But not the back way. Right? And in this situation, I challenge you and I challenge myself. Whatever we do, it ought to be done well. And it ought to be done, not only the doing of it is what's important, but the how is what's important. Where's my character and my conduct in the doing of serving God? This was not unimportant. It was not unimportant to the apostles. It wasn't, though they said, look, we can't deal with this, we must be doing this. They didn't say this is not unimportant. And we can see that in what they said here, in making sure that there was enough people and making sure that these people were quality people who were looking after this situation. I think there's a lot to learn from this little passage of scripture. Very practical things in terms of serving God and doing things well and doing them right.
And not only in the church, but in your home and your job.
Wherever. Yeah. Absolutely. Because good character, being filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom. Boy, do I need it in my home? You betcha. Do I need it in everything? I need the Spirit of God and I need the wisdom of God and I need the character of God in every part of my whole experience. Absolutely, Krista. So true. So there's my challenge to you tonight. Not only, it seemed it wasn't that hard to find seven men who were full of the Spirit of God, wisdom, and a good reputation. But it's possible amongst those thousands of people there were some that weren't. Right? Let me ask you. Let me challenge you. Is God developing you to be someone who is of good character, full of the Spirit of God and wisdom? We need to be Spirit-filled people. Remember back in Acts chapter 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. And we too need to be full of the Spirit of God, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We aren't going to be involved in this. We aren't going to do any more than this. We give some general direction. Now we expect these seven ones to look after it. And it says that the saying pleased the whole multitude. And so they chose these ones. Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte from Antioch. And they set them before the apostles. They didn't just say, okay, they're going to do the job. But what did it say? And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. They laid hands on them. What? They laid hands on them so they could manage waiting on tables? Is waiting on tables that important? Yes, it is. Is every bit of service in the church important? Absolutely. Oh, I tell you, it is so important. But it's important that it's done well. It's important that it's done from the heart. It's important that it's done wisely. It's important that our character is right in the doing of it. Isn't it? Oh, friends, so important. Every aspect of ministry is important. Everything in life is important. And it's important that these principles be applied to your life and to mine in all that we do. I praise God. I praise God for people who are waiting on tables. I tell you, I love the fact that we could come here and have a meal together. Somebody waited on tables here in order for us to have a nice little lunch. Somebody waited on tables in order in Shetty Camp every Sunday as we have a meal together. What ministry that is. The value of that ministry, I can't tell you enough of how valuable that ministry is. How many contacts that I have made and follow-throughs where somebody could come in and come out, and I may not have the opportunity to even have a conversation with them, but I can have it because we're sitting down and we're having a common meal together. What a blessed ministry it is. Every ministry is important. Remember the principle of the body and how one member might not seem as important as the other, but the whole body, for in order to function, all has to be together. Well, every ministry is important. If I wash a few dishes, does it matter? Of course it matters. You can come and wash mine. No, don't do that. I cleaned up my kitchen this morning. Some. Still a ways to go. But I can make it from the door to the fridge without tripping on anything. That's pretty good. But it is important. All of these things are important in life. You know, I do a lot of traveling, I do a lot of ministry, and I've had a wonderful helpmate all these years. And I can tell you, I miss it. Mm-hmm. I see all the things that got done that aren't getting done now. Mm-hmm. I'm doing some of them, and I'm not doing them quite so well.
Make you appreciate it so
but
much more.
You betcha. Yeah. Do I ever. I can't believe how many loads of wash I go through in a week. The washer's going all the time. I don't understand it. It didn't seem like it was doing that before. But it was. But it was. Somebody was doing that ministry. Do we think of those things as ministry? Whether it's in the home, whether it's in the church. Everything in life is ministry. And everything deserves the fullness of the Spirit of God to be working in your life when you're doing it. You've heard me say this before. You can wash dishes and they might be just as clean if you wash them in the Spirit or wash them without the Spirit of God. They might be just as clean, but you're not. There's a big difference when you're doing this in the Spirit of God. Do you know the Bible actually says that there's gold and silver and precious stones? And that's what it likens to, whatever you do that's done in God. Whatever is done by the Spirit of God, that is something that happens. Heaven recognizes that. And it might be the simplest things, but if I'm doing them filled with the Spirit of God, that's incredible ministry. We think of the preacher. We think of the person standing up and preaching to multitudes. That's the real ministry up there. But what does the Bible say? The one who gives a cup of water in the name of a disciple gets the same reward as the one who does the preaching. Isn't that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Praise God. Well, I love this passage of Scripture. Because I love it because we see the importance of every kind of ministry. We see the challenge that God has called all of us to be Spirit-filled people in whatever it is we're doing. And we see that there's nothing that's demeaning or nothing that's low. That whatever is done in God is precious, it's holy, and it's beautiful. I praise God for it. So where you're working, Margie, working in a home, looking after handicapped people. I think that's the term to use now, right?
Yeah. Special needs.
Huh?
People with special needs.
Sorry.
No, we say handicapped.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, we don't.
Okay. Okay, people with special needs.
Geraldine,
you're doing the same thing?
Yeah.
Unimportant? Are these people important to God?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So precious, so unique, so wonderful. It's a job. You can go there, you can get your paycheck and say, well, it's my job. Or you can go there full of the Spirit of God and serve with love and respect. These are the things that God calls us to in our lives. I praise the Lord. I praise Him that He calls us to this kind of life, this kind of service, whatever it is we're doing. The smallest matters are important to the Lord. It was wonderful to read on Facebook this week of how Josh was washing the children. Wonderful how he was diligently looking after the kids and washing them in the tub. I don't know if you read the whole story or not. Some of you did. I hear you laughing. So he posted on Facebook, he was washing the baby, the girl, and they had just been eating French toast, and he washed her up, and then he said, well, the water's, I think it's clean enough for the next one. They had put lots of bubbles in, so he couldn't really see the water very well. So he takes the, which was one of the boys?
Malachi.
Malachi. So he said, takes Malachi, puts him in the water, and begins to wash him. And then he says he went out to get some something or whatever. And the young fellow hollers him, how come the water's so brown? And he answers back, well, he said, it's just a little bit of French toast that was on stuck to the baby, right? But when he comes back and he finally gets to shampoo his hair, there's an awful odor coming off the water. And he realizes she let it all in the tub, right? So here he was, the poor fellow was getting baby poop. But, and he didn't know it. But, you know, his heart was there. He was trying to do the right thing, right? So sometimes what we do may not quite come out the way we wanted it to happen or expected it to happen. Yeah, he did. But anyway, we're going to make mistakes in what we do. And it's not all going to be perfect. But all, it's wonderful to see a father serving his children, isn't it?
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
And, you know, we have so many opportunities to serve. These men were called to serve. Yeah, some of them might say, hey, you know, I'm a pretty good preacher. What about Stephen? What does it say about him? It tells us Stephen was full of faith and power, Acts 6:8, and did great wonders and signs among the people. What? You're going to have me doing? I'm full of faith and power. You're going to have me watching to see who's getting enough food? And of course.
Pride. Huh? That would be pride.
Yes, it would be pride, wouldn't it? Humbly, yes. Yes, willing to do this. You'll discover that some of these men became great servants of God. In other ways too, in preaching and in teaching. Stephen actually became the first martyr of the church. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about him. We're going to see that the next story we'll do is about the arrest of Stephen and his preaching and incredible sermon that he preaches out of the Old Testament about God and about their need of repentance and faith in Christ. These ones were willing to serve. They were willing to do whatever the task was in front of them and to do it well. So my challenge to you tonight is simple. Think about this passage of scripture. Think about your own life. Think about everything that you do. And understand that nothing is menial. Nothing is secondary. But everything is important. Think about the fact that yes, there will be divisions and sometimes things, situations that need to be dealt with. But that we will deal with in things with love and humility. And that those that are in leadership, if God places you in that place of leadership, that you will be humble and that you will not lord it over people, but you will give people an opportunity to have a say in what goes on and an opportunity to work together to come to a conclusion that is good. And as we look at this passage of scripture, we see also the importance of the praying a situation through. We find there in Acts chapter 6, verse 6, when they set these before the apostles, when the choice was made and they were brought in front of the apostles, it tells us that when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And that is that commissioning, that is identifying, that is saying, what you're doing with the authority of God. We've been given an authority, the apostles were saying, and we're giving you this authority to do this and to do it well. And so there's that sense of connection, that is that sense of unity coming back together over a situation that could have caused a lot of division and a lot of strife. Instead, the church came together and was stronger because of it. Don't forget, the devil is still walking about and he still wants to create division and strife, does he not?
Yes.
He wants to create it in the church. He wants to create it in the home. He wants to get you... Husbands and wives at odds with each other over sometimes the stupidest things. Oh, how many petty arguments have you had in your lifetime with your spouse? How many of them, if you added up and you took a good look at it from a distant perspective and say, what foolishness that we fought over that. The devil wants to get that little inroad and to create that little bit of division, and we have the opportunity of bringing it before the Lord, bringing it before one another, sometimes bringing a situation before the church and praying it through and working it out and discovering the mighty ministry of the Holy Spirit in the middle of it all.
Amen.
So that what could create trouble ends up bringing even a greater blessing. And it surely did, as these men were raised up to be servants in the church. So that's the passage I have for you tonight, and that's the challenge I have for you, to take this home to heart in everything that you do. That God would be developing your character so that you wouldn't be considered a complainer, a grumbling person, but someone who is joyfully, with good character, serving others, full of the Spirit of God, that is yielded to the control of the Holy Spirit each moment, and someone who is full of a wisdom that comes from God. Remember that knowledge is one thing and wisdom is another. Wisdom is applied knowledge. There are a lot of educated fools around. But when you're actually able to take knowledge and apply it in a good way, that's wisdom. And that's what God gives to us as we seek to serve Him. So may the Lord bless us and may the Lord encourage us to be those who walk in this way, so that we could be those who are ready to serve, ready to find ourselves in situations, sometimes not easy, and I'm sure there were some feathers that were ruffled in this situation, and it did take some wisdom to talk it through and pray these situations through to a place of reconciliation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. We praise you for its truth, and we praise you for its real application in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Word to guide us and direct us in good ways. May we be those servants, O God. May we know our place, and may we know our part in serving in the kingdom of God. Whether it's those who are devoted to the Word and prayer, whether it's those who are washing dishes, whether it's those who are serving, may we all do the parts that you have given us with joy, full of the Spirit of God, glorifying you, Lord, and giving the praise and the honor and the glory to Jesus Christ. Oh God, you are good, Lord. Thank you that your ways are so much better than the world's. May we walk in them, even in a greater way tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I trust that was a blessing.
Yes, it was a great blessing. A challenge.